Shelly. That's the way we ought to come to church right there. Look, excited. Excited, man. Turn, if you would, in your scriptures to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll continue on and this morning in Adam or in Christ is the title of our message. This section in Romans has been agreed upon universally to be one of the greatest theological passages in this great book, if not all of Scripture. Great for us to understand where we are and where we came from. Each and every one of us should be. But it's also known as one of the most difficult Scriptures to understand. But hopefully, through the preaching of your Word and through the Holy Spirit, we can grasp what it's saying. Paul, it seems like he gets so caught up, there's not even a flow in the Scripture. I mean, it's like he's so full of the Spirit as God's inspiring him this Scripture. It doesn't even flow beautifully through the Greek. It's just, he's so, and we ought to get like, we ought to be so enthralled so many times that we can't even get it out. Because it's just, we're so caught up in the Lord. And so, he's over the last four chapters, he's been showing us that we have no right standing with God, that nothing we could do could ever make us right. He really knocked everything out that we could rely on as human beings. And then he's shown us this by faith way as it comes into chapter 4. And he's talking about by faith, Abraham was made righteous with God because of what he believed and what God said. And then if you remember the first part of last week, he talked about, he started saying we. And Paul was like, by faith way, that's what we believe. That's who we are, God's people. In our new members class this morning, I was talking about, we're a family. Guys, we're a family. And that's what a great thing to think about. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm closer to you, my church family than I am my own biological family, because of we're together right here. And so whenever we have struggles and problems, man, we could turn to one another and rest on one another. And what a great, great thing when we think about that this morning, that we are the family of God. And so Paul, he returns back to that by faith way, and he's going to use that to strengthen us this morning and build us. And in this last section, we're going to see how faith will not fail. If you think about last week, he said faith is not going to fail. We're not going to lose our salvation. Why? Because it rests on God's love. And God's love is what? It's unconditional. It's forever. He doesn't, you know, sometimes we feel like that in relationships when we don't do something right, well, they don't love us anymore. You ever said that? They don't love me. I've used it on Sandy. It don't do me no good, but I try. You don't love me. No, I'm just kidding. But we do. We fluctuate. We feel like that sometimes by emotions. We feel like that love, oh, they love us more. We're not loved as much. God's not like that. Man, He loves us. And when we're in Christ, it's for eternity, and He will bring that to fruition one day. When Christ returns, when we sing that, look, when the roll is called up yonder, one of these days that the old saints have wrote these songs and sung about it, it's the same thing that we're counting on in the hope that we have this morning. And so I want us to look about that, and look at our Scripture today, and let's stand on our feet to reverence God's Word, and we'll look at Romans chapter 5. We'll read 12 and just a couple verses. We won't read all of it because, again, of the flow. But let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you so much. God, it's so good to worship you. That song today, just singing, holy, holy, holy Lord, is the Lord God Almighty. You're worthy of our praise this morning. Thank you for the chance to come here and worship. I pray today, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Let's look at this great passage this morning. I want us to point out three reasons for understanding being in Adam or in Christ. And the first thing that we need to look at is our downfall. Our downfall. And I want us to look at verses 12 through 14. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. I want us to see that R is mankind. We're talking about mankind. Our transgression, our downfall was in the fall of Adam. We know the story, Genesis 2 and 3. God makes this world. He speaks it into existence. Let there be, and there was, and light come upon the earth. He creates everything. I just believe that, okay? I'm one of those guys. I believe God said it, and He created it, all right? I'm not an old earth guy either. There's some guys, all right, if you want to believe that. I'm a young earth guy. I don't think it's millions and billions of years old. What about carbon dating? What about it? Man, who come up with that anyway? It's a loop if you look and study it out. It's in the geological columns and all that. It's a loop. They don't know how old it is, all right? Here's the deal. I believe God created it, no matter how old it was. He said it, spoke it into existence. He created animals, trees, created it beautiful, man. You think we got a beautiful place that we live in. How many people could say amen to that? We take that for granted, okay? If we're not careful, we get used to the beauty around us. But the Garden of Eden was, I'm telling you, it was breathtaking, perfect. And you know what he did? He plants Adam there, and then he creates woman, perfect man, perfect woman, in a perfect place, perfect environment. You didn't need a thermostat to make it just the way you wanted it. Okay? It was perfect. It might be a little hot today. I see that, Nancy. Look, I'm going to take my jacket off, Nancy. Thank you. Listen. We didn't need it. It was perfect. You know what God did? Put all these fruit trees in the garden. He said, hey, you can eat of all of them. We don't talk about that. All of them. Any of them you see there, you can eat. You can enjoy. But there's one tree there, the knowledge of good and evil. You don't eat it, because when you eat it, you're going to die. Why did he mess it? You say, why did he mess it up? Listen, God did not want puppets. He could have made us in there. We just perform whatever we want, but he wanted man's choice to be obedience to him. He puts it in there, and what's the one tree that man couldn't stand not to eat? The one, just one. You had all this, and ain't no telling how many thousands of trees there were. That one, he just couldn't. Why is it that we're like that? We see that nature in our own selves, do we not? And what happened? He was disobedient. He goes and partakes. And they eat, the man and the woman, and what happens? They're separated from God. They disobeyed, and guess what entered the world? Sin. And with sin, death. Why do we die? Because of sin. Period. Why was there a Hurricane Matthew that's done all that devastation? Well, God's punishing. Listen, it's a fallen world because sin. We ushered sin in. It says creation was even fallen. We live in a fallen world that's full of all these things that we see that goes on. But you know what we call this? When death and sin entered the world, we call it original sin. That's what we call it. Adam, sin, death comes on the scene. Through Adam, sin enters. Sin brings death. And then he makes this statement there, and it spread to all men. How many is that? Every one of them. Everyone that's born. Got some beautiful babies here with us today. Born in sin, headed for death sooner or later. We grow, we get old, get on the backside of it, goes quick. And we're headed for death. Say, man, that sounds cool. Who wants to think about those kind of things? It'd be very sad if that's all we had to look forward to, wouldn't it? The downward progression, we see that sin enters, death enters, and then it's universal. I mean, it touches everybody's life. And he makes this statement. He says, because all have sinned. When Adam sinned, we all sin. And this is foundational to understand who we are. And the Christian belief, everyone is born into sin. We don't like that, okay? We just don't like that thought. Why? We're so individualistic in the West. Now, if you go to other cultures, we've traveled over to Africa. Africa's more of a community. community understand. In other words, they know their cousins. They know all that. They know who they are, where they are. And when one of them messes up, the whole family's blotted. We kind of go individualistic now. And it doesn't, you know, people that, oh, it doesn't matter. They make their own choices. Don't even bother us, you see. We're so individualistic in the West that when we hear that, we don't like that. The Bible says when Adam sinned, we all sinned. Period. That's what it tells us. And that means all are touched by sin. There's nobody that's not touched by it. The modern man is so extremely individualistic that he has a hard time with that. But to biblically understand Adam or mankind, you've got to understand the solidarity of the whole human race is in sin. We all need a Savior. He sinned, we sinned. So that's not fair. That's just not fair. Listen, that's what the Scripture says. You're going to have to take it up with God. He said Adam represented mankind. He represented us. And what he did, guess what? We would have done. Same thing. F.F. Bruce says, Adam is mankind. And in Adam we sin, regardless of how it seems logically. This is foundational in our theology. This is biblical. This is biblical understanding of sin. We are sinful to the core, and our natures, because we all sin in Adam, our downfall is universal. Period. It's universal. Listen, then he reviews history in verses 13 and 14. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him to come. Death and sin had reigned since Adam, but sin, it says, is not imputed. There's that word that we use when it's talking about imputed righteousness. Remember back over in 4? That Abraham believed it was imputed to him. You remember we talked about that logosomai, and it means, hey, it's imputed, credited, reckoned, counted. He said this sin was imputed to us. In other words, we see that there was this creditation that was put in our life before the righteousness of Christ that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And it's called sin. We understand this, but he says, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. What's he talking about there? You say, well, that's confusing. Listen, let me give you an example. We all know that I like to deer hunt. I hope if you don't, I love to deer hunt. That's just my hobby. That's what I do. I just got back last week hunting. Okay, I'm going down the road, driving down, we'll go railroad grade, or better to take somewhere else. And I see this huge buck cross the road, right? This buck crosses the road, and man, he's got a rack like this. I'm saying, dear Lord, that's a huge one. I've got to get that one. And he goes over on this land, and that land's not posted. I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe them people wouldn't mind if I just went over there and tried to kill that big, huge buck for them. Yeah. So I plan on, I'm going to get Sandy to drop me off where the truck ain't parked next to the road. I'll just go in there and shoot that for them. They don't need that big thing on there. It could hurt somebody, right? But when I go back and I get ready to have Sandy drop me off, there's posted signs all down that road. It says posted. The landowner's seen it too, right? No trespassing and no hunting. And I go ahead and go anyway. Look. Before, I was just guessing if it was wrong. I wonder if that's wrong or not. But when it's posted, I know it's wrong. See, the law came. When the law comes, people knew that they were wrong and in sin. But when the law came, it showed God's standard. And it's just like this poster sign. I went ahead and walked past it anyway. He said, that's what he's speaking about here. He's letting us know, hey, we weren't sure before, but with the poster, we're doubting if anything is wrong. We know it's wrong now. When we got God's standard, God's law, we know what's right and wrong. He wrote this for us so we couldn't ever question it. Through the ages, sin has, and its effect are seen. We're all under sin. It doesn't seem fair to, it might not seem fair to us, but we need to understand we would have done the same thing as I said before. The fact that the fall came, listen, through one man, the fact that it came through one man, Adam, we think, well, that don't seem right, but it's the seed of our hope, that hope came through one man, the second Adam, Christ, because he said he was a type of Christ. So we can have hope in one man also. Adam sinned, we received death, and condemnation, but Christ comes for one reason. We'll see that. Listen, that's our downfall. Let's look at our deliverance, verses 15 and 9 through 19. Our deliverance. I love what Paul says, but the free gift is not like the offense, he says. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God that the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one man, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of the righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You say, wow, what a mouthful. What's he talking about here? Adam was a type of Christ. He says that in verse 14. But Paul's wanting us to know the only similarity between Christ and Adam is that they affected, what they did affected all of mankind. The reality is Christ's work is greater. He says, the free gift is not like the offense, is what he says here. Verses 15 and 16, Adam's sin kills once and for all. Christ is the giver of life. His offer heals all the sins and the transgressions of all men of all time. Adam brought death. Adam brought death, but Christ brings life. Just like with the one man, sin enters. We're all dying here. I hope it don't take you by surprise. Is anybody surprised this morning? We're all dying. One out of one of us here is going to die. If the time takes, as the Lord tarries, takes long enough. Death, that's Adam, brought death in through sin, and sin is in our nature. But listen, if you have Christ, you'll never die eternally. Woo! Yes! If you have Christ, life is available to you today. Now, you can shake your head at that. You can say, you know what, I don't believe that, but it doesn't got a thing to do with that. It says, the Word of God says this is what it says. There's only one way. Only one way to life, and that's through Christ. And He's our great deliverer. Adam's sin kills. There's no comparison in Adam and Christ, except that what they did affected all mankind. Look at verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Christ gives more than what we lost in Adam. He gives more. In fact, John 10:10 said it's the abundant life in Christ. I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. What abundant life is he talking about? Oh, so I can have more toys, more cars, more houses, better paychecks. Wrong answer. But that I could have this life, this hope. You want to see your world without hope? You've heard me say this many times. Look at your news. You're looking at a world without hope. You're looking at a world that doesn't have this hope that we have. Why? Because they think it's in the cars, the houses, the money, the careers, the clothes. And it does not last. It does not bring abundant life. There's something missing. It doesn't matter if you're the richest man in the world. You lay down at night, and I've heard some of the richest men's testimony saying, what was it worth? I spent my whole life for nothing when they came to death. What good is it? He gives us so much. Much more those who receive abundance of grace, of the gift of righteousness. And listen to what it says, will reign. Listen to this. Formerly, death was our king. And we were slaves under its tyranny. We were slaves under the tyranny of death. We did not know how. And if you don't have this hope, how do you relate to this death that's always stalking, this tyranny, this king that's in your life, that the reality is coming? What Christ did for us is deliver us from the rule of death so radically as to enable us to change places and rule over it. Where, oh death, is your victory? Where, oh death, is your sting? Reign in life. We become kings and queens sharing in the kingship of Christ, with death under our feet and one day destroyed. Heard me talk about, we don't like talking about death. We just don't. We don't like to think about it. When the stingers took out of it, you ain't got to worry about that bee. It can buzz all it wants to. You don't have to worry about it ever stinging. Why? Because Christ came to give us life. He's given us life. And He's made us, not only did He take us out of the tyranny of death, but He's made us kings and queens to ruin and reign and rule in life. Adam's in disobedience. Listen, please listen to this. Adam in his disobedience, he grasped for equality with God. What did the serpent tell Eve? What did the serpent tell Eve? Oh, if you eat, did God say, made her question, did God say, oh, He knows if you eat of that fruit, you will be, what, like Him. Adam in his disobedience tried to grasp equality with God. Christ, in His obedience, perfect obedience, did not regard equality something to be grasped, but made Himself of no reputation. Listen, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Woo! What He didn't grasp, what He grasped, listen, God didn't grasp, Christ didn't grasp equality, but He humbled Himself. Adam tried to be like Christ, like to be like God, but he couldn't in his disobedience. Christ came in perfect form and humbled Himself. Why? One of these days, my friend, if you're not bowing the knee now, you will bow the knee. You will bow the knee. Why not bow it now? Why not try to give up what it is that's keeping you from bowing the knee and say there's nothing worth it? Why? Every tongue's going to confess. You say, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The superiority of the second Adam was our great deliverance from our great downfall. Praise Jesus for what He did. He gave us hope. You have hope today. Let it rage. Although the world may rage around you, you have hope that goes beyond this world. Though death comes sooner or later, we have life beyond the grave through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That was our downfall, our deliverance, but lastly, our duty. Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where law abounded, sin abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law was never given to make us right with God or enable us to live rightly. The law showed the horribleness of our sin and how it was Adam's sin was imputed to our account, is what it showed. I love this statement, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Abounded much more actually is a word that we get our word super from. Super abounding grace. We all know the Super Bowl, right? Super. Super abounding grace. Think about that in our lives. God can overrule sin and death with grace and give eternal life to all those who receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's a super abounding grace. The law causes us to sin more and takes us and moves us. But what it does, it moves us closer to Christ. It moves us closer to see our need for that Savior. In our brokenness, we turn to Him. Grace always abounds over sin. Super abounding. All the more abundant, flowing, increasing grace. Charles Spurgeon said, grace abounding over abounding sin. Listen, you can't help John Newton that wrote Amazing Grace. He understood he was a slave owner. He became a slave himself. And yet he's out in a boat one day and a storm comes and he prays and gives his heart to Christ and he said, Amazing Grace, how great the sound that saved what? A wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Super abounding grace. He understood these hymns are people pouring out of the grace that's been given them. Do you understand that this morning? Do you? I do. Just a country boy in Morgan in North Carolina doing what he wanted to do. Living a life of sin, whatever. Good old boys. There's a lot of good old boys going to hell this morning, okay? I want you to know that. Good old boys. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you ever saw, but in trouble with the law since the day they was born. That's the truth. That's our thinking. You know, that's good old boys. Listen. A lot of good old boys going to hell this morning because they don't understand where they are in their goodness in Christ. They don't understand that they don't measure up to God's standard, and we never will unless we receive Christ as our Savior. And when Christ comes in your heart, you know what He does? He changes you. He makes you into a new creature. And you know what? I don't want to do the things that I used to do anymore. Why? Because there's a new nature that moved in. It's called life. Going from death to life. No one beyond grace in this room this morning, okay? There's a lot of intelligent people sitting right here that your own intelligence has kept you from that relationship with Jesus Christ. Science, the more you learn, the more you get you confused on all these things. I want you to know something this morning. The more that I learn and the more education I get, the more stupider I realize that I am. Okay? And they want you to grasp humanism and all the things that they're feeding you, because if you can grasp that, it will turn you away from this. And you'll question everything. I want you to know something. The grace of God stands for you here this morning. You are not beyond reach. You can listen. If you can't figure it out logically, that's okay. You just believe what the Word of God says right here. I promise you, He can change your life. Nobody's beyond the grace of God this morning. Our duty is to reign in life. What He said in verse 14. Our duty is to live that out before a world. In Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1, verse 4. It talks about Judah conquering the Canaanites. And while they were in this hot pursuit of one of the Canaanite kings, when they caught him, you know what they did? They cut off his thumbs and they cut off his big toes. Listen to what the statement that he makes in verse 7. This king that said that he got his toes and his thumbs cut off. He said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table as I have done, so God has repaid me. Now you take your thumb away. How are you going to pick up food? Can you see that? Can you see them kids? You take that big toe away and you can't hardly walk. You're just groping around trying to get scraps to eat. God has called us to be kings and queens and reign in life, and I'm afraid that most of us are under the table just trying to grope scraps, just trying to make it. Oh, life's so hard. Oh, pray for me and all these things, and we don't grasp that we're kings and queens, so we're just groping the scraps that's under the table when God has so much more for you this morning. And Satan keeps us beat down. It keeps us questioning things all the time. And God's called us to reign in life and never to look at death and think, oh, what am I going to do? I'm dying. Guess what? That's in Adam, by the way. In Adam, we're all going to die. But in Christ, if you receive His gift, you can live. And you can have life. And it doesn't matter what comes your way. You can have hope for tomorrow because of what He's done. He's called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Are you His children? Understand the greatness of your downfall. Understand the greatness of our deliverance, but also understand the greatness of your duty this morning. Understand the love of God of us for us should make us live like His children. Super abounding grace, amazing grace in your life. Live that out. Applications, and we'll be done. Do you understand that we are all born into sin? You don't don't understand that, you'll question that if you ever, whether you need a Savior or not. You understand that you're all born into sin. Number two, have you received the deliverance Christ has given? You need to nail that down this morning. You need to make sure that you know that Christ has delivered you from your sin. Why? Your eternity rests upon it. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to your life. Don't you worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't you worry about what somebody's going to think except for Jesus Christ, your Savior, that's standing there. And here's the deal. And tugging at your heart saying, you need to get this right. Who cares what anybody else thinks? I would not let the worry of man stumble me into an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And that'll do it for you. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Only what God thinks that matters. Number three, how are you living? Are you groping for scraps? Or are you living like a child of the King this morning? Your life plays that out. Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. What's God say to you this morning? Brittany, you come and sing. When Brittany starts, what's God said to you? Don't worry about anybody else between you and God right here this morning. Right here, October 2016, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You don't have a relationship with Christ, make that right today. Why? We don't know what tomorrow holds. Your eternity could be required. Your life could be required before you get out of this place today. Make that right. How are you living? Do you understand? Do you understand your great deliverance from the Lord, that the Lord's given you from your sin? Are you living in superabounding grace in your life? Or are you groping for scraps under the table, just barely making it there, Lord? How are you living? How's your duty? Are you living out the reign of life that He's called you to live? Whatever He said to you when she sings, don't hesitate, come forward.
Just as I am without
you. Just as you are this morning. Don't be thinking, I need to get this right, I need to get that right. You come and God will get it right. What is it? What is it keeping you beat down this morning? What is it you need to say, Lord? I'm going to live for you and reign as a child of the King and Queen of the Lord this morning. No longer am I going to let it beat me up.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul.
One dark blood. Yes. What is it? Another verse. People are coming. How about you? You right with the Lord? Do you know that you have Jesus as your Savior? Don't leave here without Him today. Bow your heads this morning. Just playing. We're going to let things finish as they're praying. What about you? Do business with God. Just know. Know that you have that relationship with Him. Is there sin in your life that reigns? Are you living in sin? That's a good, pretty good indication that you're not a child of the King or you're miserable. If you can live in sin and you're not miserable, something's wrong. What is it God's saying to you? Make it right. You're out there where you're at. You say, you know what, Lord? This is it. I'm making it right with you. I'm asking you and receiving you as my personal Savior. I'm laying it down. I'm no longer am I thinking, wondering. But Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm saying I'm accepting what Christ has done for me, and I'm receiving Jesus' payment for my sin. Maybe you're troubled with something right now. Lay it down. Say, Lord, whatever this is, that I maybe it's something that just keeps coming around, beating me up. Lord, I'm laying that down right now. I'm giving it to you. My Savior, my Lord and Savior. Help me to live as a child of the King. Whatever that He's saying to me, lay it down. Lay it down tonight. Listen, I love you. I love you. If you pray to receive Christ, let me know that. World, you need to let somebody know. If you're dealing with something I can talk to you about, let me know. I love you. We're family. Please come get one of these boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Fill up. We need to get 100. We'll set a goal. 100 boxes. We can do that and more, all right? Get you a Christmas box. Then that goes to kids all around the world, and it's about the gospel. They do it for the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? It's not just toys, but they do it to present the gospel to every child. So think about 8 million boxes, son. That's 8 million kids that get the gospel, and you're a part of it. And it takes a big, big group to do that. So I love you, Jenna. And Connie, you was trying to get out of Connie. You get up here right now. You say, man, he's going to forget it again. Jenna, come up here, Jenna. Thank you. These ladies were baptized a couple Sundays ago, and I have not presented them to the church for you guys to welcome them. See, look. You thought I forgot again, didn't you? Thank you, Sandy. I did. Sandy told me. Listen, what's the pleasure of church to receive them in our membership? All those opposed, we don't even recognize it, right? So y'all come back and shake hands with us. Wade, you can come back with her so you can be with your wife. Okay? And Lee closes in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Don't forget tonight. Wait a minute. 6 o'clock. About forgot the pinto beans. You got to mention them again. Pintos, potatoes, slaw, and nanner pudding. Okay? Woo-hoo. Today, right now. There you go. But man, they tell you eat pintos for lunch and supper. Woo-wee. Lee dismisses.